G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. My message this morning is doing life in the new normal. You know, we are living in a new normal that has rapidly descended on us. Most change happens more slowly than what we've experienced the last few weeks. Yes, it's only been a few weeks since this crazy kind of locking down of our world is happening. And it's like every day there's something new, something extraordinary, something happening. But it's kind of the new normal. Somehow meeting online is normal. Somehow working from home is normal, but it takes us a while to get to that space. And I was thinking about God's people in the Bible and how so many times of change happened. And if you just flick through the pages of the Bible from beginning to end, you see change after change after change. And actually, God is okay with change. In fact, God probably initiates a lot of change. He certainly has in the scriptures. And so when we start to understand that God has enabled change, we can cope with that. And so I was thinking this morning of Adam and Eve. They had to learn how to redo life outside of the garden. I was thinking of Abram, who was told to go to a new country that he'd never been before in Genesis 12. He had to go to a place and pack up and move to a place that he'd never seen before or never even known about. A new normal for him. Moses, he was thrown in the deep end for 40 years in the wilderness, out of his comfortable life in the palace, and had to learn how to live in the desert. Got married and had some kids, and then had another change. We had to take all his people from Egypt right through the desert. You know, he experienced change after change after change and had to adapt to his new normal. Joshua settled the land. He took the land for the people in Canaan and had to deal with what it was like to live in that space, a new normal. David, a great hero in the scriptures, changed from a shepherd boy to a king, to being in the courts of the king, and then to being a fugitive. And each of those changes is like a new normal for them that they have to adjust to and adapt to. And I was thinking of God's people leaving the promised land and going to Babylon and having to cope with that, and then eventually coming back and having to rebuild and change and change and change and discerning what the new normal is. And then when Jesus arrived on the scene, just if you think that everything's settled, Jesus comes and completely upturns the tables and completely changes life. He even changes people's faith and starts to help people to understand what new normal is. The Bible is okay with change, and people adapt pretty quickly as we go through this thing. And so I want to dive into the book of John this morning as a dive into one of Jesus' closest friends, how he coped with all this rapid change of Jesus and what he brought in. And I think there are three levels of new normal that we're having to cope with right now that John experienced when he hung around Jesus for a while. So I want to go through those three things this morning, and I'm hoping that it'll encourage you to adjust and to adapt into what is life at the moment. So the first one is about our internal state. It's coping with loss. What is our new normal inside? Because there's so much identity change right now. How are you coping with the loss and the change right now? Are you a person who likes lots of change? Or are you somebody who struggles with change? Where are you at with that this morning? Like, there's been an astronomical loss of health, of work, of life as it's normal. It's been a loss of freedom. We're just not allowed to do what we used to do. We've had to strip down our stage here and not hug each other as we say farewell. And like the things that we consider just normal, touching someone and reaching out to someone or handshaking someone, suddenly those things have gone. And somehow our work situation, so many people out of work, so many people having to adjust to the shops not being there anymore. And the things that we once took for granted, even things like superannuation, you know, facing retirement and thinking, well, my super's just gone south. A housing situation, our rent pressures, and like there's so much internal grief and loss around our world right now. And you might be feeling that this morning as well. And it's very natural and very normal. And above all, it's like the fear that's come in that's replaced peace. Fearing the future, fearing the next season, and the unknown of how long will this thing go on for. Jesus has an interesting point of view on loss. Lazarus in John 11 was one of Jesus' friends. He and Mary and Martha was the place where Jesus would come and connect with and hang out with. And Lazarus, his friend, died. And Jesus was a long way away, and he came back, and he wanted to be at the funeral, so because they could do funerals back then. And he came back. And in John 11, let me read you. He entered a funeral scene, and Mary and Martha were there, and they were distraught that their brother had died. And Jesus is showing us how he's coping with internal loss. This is John 11, 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Now listen, Jesus was confident in Lazarus' future, yet he saw the people around him suffering, the great loss of their brother and their friend, and he was moved in spirit. Do you know that Jesus identifies with our loss? He actually understands what you're going through. He's not standing back going, tough it out, you'll be right, you can get through it. It says here when he was facing a devastating situation, look at this, in verse 33, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. God is deeply moved and greatly troubled by some of the things that you're going through right now. He identifies and he understands. He said, where have you laid him? This is Lazarus. They said to him, Lord, come and see. And so it took Jesus to where the tomb was. And in verse 35, it says that Jesus wept. He was overwhelmed with the situation. Even though he was God himself, he wept at the context and seeing where the tomb was. And the Jews in verse 36 said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? And Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus is planning something. He's identified with the grief and loss, and he understands it, but there's something going on in Jesus, and there's a new thing coming. He says, take me to the cave. And then he says, verse 39, take away the stone. Like to us in our day, it would be sort of undig the grave. Get out your shovel and let's dig this thing up again. And you can imagine the horror of the people around him. Hang on. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to the Lord, Lord, by this time there's an odor. He's been dead for 4 days. He's been in there for 4 days. And you're going to just go in there and, I wouldn't do that, Jesus. You see, He's trying to conjure up something. Jesus said, and here's the key, did I not tell you, verse 40, that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? That is such a verse for us today. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And then when he said these things, he cried out in a loud voice. He says, Lazarus, come forward. And the man who had died came out, his hands, his feet bound. Maybe he was all wrapped up in toilet paper, not because he couldn't buy any, linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. What an amazing account. That is how Jesus deals with situation, internal loss and fear and desperate circumstances. He doesn't ignore the fear and the pain and the sadness. In fact, he carries that with him. But look what happens. He says that he can change things. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Face the current reality now. Don't ignore it. Don't pretend life hasn't changed, because it has. Weep if you have to. Jesus did. But never stop believing for the turnaround. Never just sit in that place of depression and mourning. Jesus was able to rise out of that and see the glory of God and spoke things out. He says, Lazarus, he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. You got to speak things over your world. You got to lift up your voice and thank God for the good things coming in your future. Sickness becomes health. Lack becomes provision. Restriction turns into freedom. And fear turns into peace. These are the things that are ours. Never let go of the hope of the future and the glory of God. Let's not just live in the now, but keep seeing the future when things will return. So we've got to deal with our internal change, the things that are going on. But then there's the world around us. Like, as if that's not enough to cope with. For some of us, we're trying to grapple with the fear and the loss and the grief. But there's also the context has shifted. Like our home life. That's the second one I want to talk about. How are you coping with being at home 24/7 for some of you? Other people have to work and frontline services and still doing our thing. And it's like the church is frontline. We're not retreating at this time. We'll always find a way to go ahead and build the church. We're not just going to sit back and close up shop for 6 months. In fact, it's the complete opposite for us. And for many people, health workers and teachers and police, you know, we've got all kinds of people in our congregation. They are out there doing stuff. But for some, trying to do life at home 24/7, perhaps with the kids, perhaps with everyone working from home, and maybe you haven't been like this for a long time, and sometimes it could be diabolical. Or is this what you've been craving for, this space? You know, my world not so long ago was a world of rapid change, my personal world. I was traveling a lot, domestically, even internationally. I was in lots of meetings, traveling backwards and forwards, and sometimes home became a bit of just a stopover, and then I'm back on the road and doing stuff. And you know, it's a huge transition for me, but actually there's really good things that come out of this. I think our world has changed. In some ways, we had it all down pat. We cope with the busyness of life. We cope with people come and go, and who's home for dinner, and maybe no one's home because people are busy. And we used to pride ourselves with the busy badge. How are you? I'm busy. So busy. You know, maybe that's not the way we're supposed to live. Maybe there's something else. I'm home pretty much all the time now. Kids, family, meals, working together. I'm telling you, it's not so bad, but for some of us, it's really challenging. Maybe you're working lots. Maybe you live at home alone. Like for 25% of our population, Live alone. That can be really challenging, especially if you're more extroverted. Maybe home is not safe. Maybe it's a place of tension. Been a lot of concern recently just around the rise of domestic violence and mental health, perhaps alcoholism. Just maybe it's not the greatest place traditionally to be in your home with someone that maybe is not safe. There's situations that arise. Maybe home is just chaotic. Maybe you have young kids and you're all trying to work around the kitchen table. Maybe it's just not, you know, there's all these contexts that we're facing. What does Jesus have to say about home? How do we cope with this new normal of home? Well, in the same part of the Bible in John, when John's disciples, his best friends, were facing incredible change to their home life, do you know what he said to them? This is John 14, verse 1. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." So don't let all this change trouble your heart. Don't let it get to you. Then he says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go and prepare a place for you?" Jesus understands the need for space and room, and there is a future coming where there is plentiful, there is a glorious house for us. In the meantime, he says, don't be troubled. He goes on in the same passage in verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Same thing. You see, he's reinforcing this idea that we have peace. You and I can have peace in our context, whether you're living at home alone and lonely, whether you're in a chaotic family home, whether you're having to go out a lot and work as a frontline person, as an essential service. It doesn't matter your context. What's important is that you can have peace, real peace. You can have the kind of peace that is inside. It's not dependent on circumstances. And now is your opportunity to recalibrate to peace. Maybe peace wasn't even a part of your old normal, but you craved it. Now is the time to find that peace in your new normal. So here's some keys to grabbing the peace that Jesus gives us. First thing is to thank God for the people you live with. When was the last time you thanked God for kids or your husband or your wife? And just thank you, God, for the people around me. Appreciate them. It's so easy to take the people that we live with for granted, especially when we're crowded in, perhaps. But take time to appreciate them, to thank them, to love them, to care for them. Maybe it's a time to restore relationships, to get to know the people with you that you live with again, and spend genuine time with each other. In our old normal of busy chaos, maybe that wasn't possible, but now here's some time to recalibrate and to be family or to be whatever your context looks like. Rediscover eating together without people ducking out and here, there, and everywhere. Ephesians 4:32 says to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There is a great just sense of kindness that can come in. Perhaps you need to recalibrate your routine. Build in some exercise at home somehow. To build in some time for prayer and the word and time for connection. What if you saw this season as a gift? Even if the summit's crazy and scary, and what if it's a gift of God? What if it's a sabbatical? What if it's time, just time out, world? Just find some peace. I wonder what it would be like to perhaps down some tools and just focus on what's really important in this world. I'm telling you, even in dark times, like Jesus with his friends facing the end, he said, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." We can take that peace into this context right now and really embrace that. And the last one, the third new normal is our community and how we're going to cope with the change to the way we relate to each other. I mean, how are you coping not having church here on Sunday? I mean, I'm not coping so well, to be honest. I come in and I'm here, but there's really no one else here. A few production team. But you know, it's so different to hugging people and high five, "How you going? Good to see you," and having coffee and tea. Like, man, that's hard, isn't it? You know? How are you coping without being able to really connect with your neighbors? I went shopping yesterday and it was quiet in town, and I kind of got too close to someone. I forgot to social distance, and the person just kind of moved away a bit. Oh, that's right. I've got to be careful. Friends, how are you coping without friends? We had our last life group face-to-face last week, and this is really sad. You know, there's so much change right now in our community, but I wonder how you're helping others to cope. Jesus was the great community builder. He spent his life helping others cope in all kinds of contexts. And he passed this message on to us. This is in John 13, 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It says, love one another. It's in the same context. You see where the end is near and there's lots of change going on. And Jesus says in the middle of that, he says, hey, love one another. Keep loving one another. And they're going, but what's going to happen? You're going to leave us? And love one another. No matter what context, no matter what circumstances, we can find a way to love one another, even if we can't be physically connected. There's all kinds of things that we can do to turn isolation into fellowship. We the church, will stand out as we love one another. It's like it overcomes loneliness and isolation. It gives us a new zest for life. It gives us fun and passion and freedom. And that sense of love is creative. So how can we love other people? How can you love somebody? Perhaps learn technology. Learn FaceTime and Zoom and learn Slack and all these tools that we're rapidly having to grab hold of. Learn them so you can connect face to face and at least see each other's face. Learn to do life groups remotely and kids and youth, and learn that at least there's a connection. Learn to care for people. Maybe there's people in your street, in your world, that you don't know how they're coping. Pick up the phone, give them a call, send them a text. Are you okay? How are you coping? And as we just reach out, let's be a church that reaches out and loves other people and continues to build and pray and hope. So as we close up this morning, I want to encourage you. You can come up, guys. I want to encourage you that change is okay. People are incredible at adapting to change, but know that it does take time, and you might be feeling anxious inside. You might not know how to do family or community, and there's lots of rapid change. But I'm telling you, Jesus, in the middle of that, will bring you your peace that you need. He'll bring you a sense of security and strength. He'll bring you the hope that you long for. And the greatest new normal that you can look for this morning is to know Jesus. In this time of rapid change, now is the time to grab hold of something that is sure and fixed and certain. And his name is Jesus. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.